Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Who are we? Where are we?
Yeah, sorry if this is a little late.
It's going to be late.
Shit happens.
It's going to be late, and I'm sorry that
She shouldn't apologize.
We live lives. I got logged out of my Netflix on Apple TV, so...
Oh, no.
Alex won't tell me the password.
What?
Well, I texted him, what's
the
Netflix?
That's some kind of hostage situation.
And he just never responded, and I'm like, I need it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm fine. Like, I have an extreme Apple TV. Like, bless up.
Also, did you hear Disney's starting their own streaming service? They're going to pull other stuff off Netflix and make their own.
I'm thrilled about that. I'm not mad about it.
It's going to be interesting.
I want to go to Disney so bad. All right, let's just do it.
Yeah, let's. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to...
Splat.
The podcast.
Where me, Brooke...
And me, Bridget...
talk about Sex and the City.
10 years younger.
And 20 years later.
Hello to the trucks outside
my
window.
There's lots of trucks and we're in ye old Brooklyn.
Ye old Brooklyn.
Once again.
And we're not alone.
We're not alone. Welcome to the pod.
Hey, Sam Wong.
Sam Wong. Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me, lady.
Thank you so much for being on.
I literally binged all of Splat Podcast in the span of like 2 days or 3 days.
It was amazing. We got email updates as it went, and it was so good.
A lot of our voices. How was that experience for you?
It really made, you know, all my errand running go by so much faster. All of my airport time.
Oh, yeah, because you were traveling.
Whatever, go by so much faster. I would, you know, be that weirdo sitting alone on the bench in the airport with my headphones on and, like, you know, laughing to myself.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what's so entertaining to you because you look like an insane person.
Oh, yeah. I did that all the time. I really enjoyed doing that, like, with what music I'm listening to. So, like, hypothetically, like, if I were... imagine, if you will, and I were listening to, like, I don't know, Cats on the subway.
Whoa, what? Happy year anniversary of seeing
it. Oh, my God. Yeah, thanks, Time Hop. But I like to be like, what do you think that I'm listening to?
There have to be people out there who look at you and are like, that girl's listening to Cats.
I hope not. I like to,
You have a cat sweatshirt, so there have been moments, I guarantee you, when you've been wearing that and listening to Cats when someone has known.
Maybe. I also like to play the game opposite. So, like, I'll find, like, a very, like, tough-looking person. I'll be like, what if you're listening to, like, Mozart?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Piano concertos.
Yeah.
My uncle actually didn't know what Cats was about.
Oh.
He couldn't infer from the title.
Infer.
No.
Hey.
Cats jokes.
No, I guess not. Well, this was when it first came out, I guess. What, in the 70s?
80s.
80s?
Oh my God.
I feel like if there's just
that's
like.
That's amazing.
Now he doesn't go to things.
If there's one thing you can just like.
That's super funny.
Assume that Cats is about, it's about cats.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it seemed too obvious.
It's closing soon.
I know.
Are you going to see it?
I don't know. I'll try.
Are
you going to see it again?
Friend of our friendship, Dylan, was like, I feel like I can get 99 people that know you to give $1 for you to go to the closing.
Ooh, crowd raise.
Of Cats.
Yeah, seriously.
And like maybe some people will give more. And I'm like, I can't have seen Cats 3 times.
Or can you have?
Or can I have?
That's low numbers for a show you really like.
Seriously?
No, 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 no. It's still Cats. Like, yes.
That doesn't change the fact that you deeply love it.
I don't know why.
Does the why matter in love, Brooke?
Okay.
Will you tell us a little bit about you?
Thank you. Yeah, enough about Cats.
Yeah, never, but.
what is, there's nothing really about me.
That is so not true. Tell me about.
I met Bridget.
Yes.
That's what I was going to ask.
Our 1D fandom in Chicago.
The One Direction fandom has served me time and time.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Second. Tell me. I want to know.
Actually, it was very impressive, the amount of people
that went
to this Chicago
amazing
series.
Crew together.
Yeah.
At the end of July, they had 2 back-to-back concerts, summer after my junior year.
One of them was on Liam's birthday, I remember.
Yes, it was. Yeah, you guys, are you ready for this? but we had like probably 25.
He was noticeably drunk after his birthday. Yes. On stage.
It was quite something. We had probably 25 people who'd come from like all over the country, basically. And then we had like this huge party afterwards, and it was insanity.
But Agnes wasn't there.
No, she didn't come. She's sad about that still.
Sorry, Agnes. I didn't mean to bring that up.
There's still time. Reunion.
We're going to.
Reunion. It's the best.
I only want to see One Direction with you.
Oh, absolutely. When they get back together, we'll all go.
I forgot they broke up. See, I'm so...
When they do the cruise ships, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that they'll like still be One Direction, or do you think they'll be like another direction?
I feel like once they lost a member and stuck with One Direction, they're going to be One Direction forever.
Oh.
Like Backstreet Boys, they're always boys. New Kids are always kids. They're not new men. Nope. They're not Backstreet men.
That would be so funny. If when bands got reunited, they had to update their name to be like more relevant to them.
I would love that. Like if the Spice Girls were just like...
Spice Women.
No, I'm trying to think of like what
Spice Queens.
Yeah,
like what Spice Matriarchs. KWE.
Oh,
like
sure.
What do you like put in? What is another? Herbs. The Herb Girls. There.
Oh, nice. I see what you were going.
I was like trying to go spice adjacent.
Yeah, well done. You did. You got there.
Okay.
But when I first met Bridget, I just remember her being the sweetest, loveliest. She was wearing this Kelly Green A-line dress.
It's that backless dress. That ASOS dress that I have.
I don't know what Kelly Green is.
And I was just like, how can this girl be so beautiful and nice and wonderful at the same time.
Fun fact, when Brooke walked in and met Sam, she said, "You're so beautiful." So there you go. Speaking of beautiful.
Yes, that was also a pleasant surprise. I'm a water sign. I move a lot.
I'm a water sign too. What are you?
Pisces.
Oh, nice. I don't know many Pisces, I don't think.
Robin's a Pisces. When's your birthday?
Is that February?
March. It's end of February, beginning of March.
Oh, okay. I know a few Pisces. Yeah. Hi, Kahari Shelton. It's a good time.
Yeah.
I'm April. I like spring. Birthday. I'm biased because I only have one birthday and it's a spring birthday. So
if you could pick your birthday, when would it be?
Ooh.
I would have wanted to have a summer birthday so I could have a pool party. I've always wanted a pool party.
You didn't get to celebrate in school though, right?
Right. Wait. Why were you in Chicago? Like, were you living in Chicago?
No.
Did you go to school? You just went for the One Direction concert.
I went for the 1D concert, 2 concerts, 2 days in a row.
Same. I went to both of them.
Bring in a bunch of really wonderful, nice, hospitable, intelligent ladies together.
Yeah, it's also really crazy to meet people in person who you've known online, because in some ways you're like, it's new, and in some ways you're like, wait, I've known you forever.
That's like what Bumble's like.
Exactly, honestly, I think so.
I'm like,
if you do it for 3 years and then
Bumble has a friends meeting feature.
Oh,
I know. I saw a guy.
I've used it before.
Has it worked?
Yeah, and I've only had positive experiences with women on there, meeting them for platonic relationships.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
To like find friends?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
And it makes so much sense, you know, if you've just moved here.
Yeah.
You don't know anybody. How do you find friends without being, you know, awkward and trying to talk to people?
That's
on
amazing.
The train or at a bar or something.
Oh, you're amazing.
Yeah, that's seriously, amazing. That's impressive.
Just like a quick sidetrack, I did not one but 2 escape the rooms last Friday night.
Oh my God, I haven't seen you in so long. We have so many things to talk about.
We have so many things to talk about.
How were they?
We did one and we got out with 15 minutes to spare. Damn. And then we were like, what is your availability the rest of the And we went back and we did their newest, hardest one, and we didn't get out because it was, so you know how in the one we did on my birthday, it's like a lot of like, you're finding a key and this key opens this and it's a word puzzle and the word puzzle does this. They're moving them more to like technology stuff.
Whoa.
So it's like you put a thing under a thing and a video plays, but you have to put it in the right order. Or like there was this one thing where you had to put a wrench in a box and then close the box and then something happened in the room and then there was a different wrench in the box. And we were just like,
what?
It was like, this rusty wrench doesn't work. And we were like, ugh. And it was like, and then it opened and there was a new wrench. And we were all like,
but how much fun must it be to design these?
So fun. We were talking about that. But it was like, it was me and our friend Dylan and Dylan's boss and someone who also works with Dylan. And then I hope who's listening, new friend Scott, friend of the new, he was like, I wasn't going to come. I was going to just like go home and sit and watch Sex and the City. And I was like, have I got a podcast for
incredible.
You?
Incredible. What an opening.
Yeah.
Why was I talking about Escape the Room? Oh, because on Bumble, actually, I've realized like a great deal breaker for me and like a great way to like kind of weed through the guy is to be like any night of the week, be like, oh yeah, I'm just hanging. I just didn't escape the room.
And just see what they say.
For them to be like, oh, what's that? And I'm like, oh, it's like a room and you have to just like do a bunch of puzzles to get out.
I've done an escape the room for a first date from a Bumble guy before.
Whoa, really?
Yes. I would not do that. That's not cute. It's not a cute look on me.
Oh, competitive
bro. You have to like be endeared to me before we can dive into escape the room.
But that's part of the appeal, right? Like you instantly bond from doing
that
an
is
activity.
It's a cool thing to do.
From feeling like you're in the trenches with somebody.
Fair. But I'm like the ugliest.
At least you're on the same team though.
Yeah. The ugliest parts of me come out.
Or the best. So you just like test what people say back to you?
Oh, yeah. Because if like, they're like, well, I hate puzzles. I'm like, I will not go on a date with you.
Right.
Anyway.
Anyway. Now is it time to hear about your Sex in the City.
Oh, Sex in the City.
Please.
Right. I actually got a really bad first impression of Sex in the City.
Really?
I love that.
Because my first episode was like, it was in like season 4 or something. Mm. And my friend Hallie had rented the VHS from Blockbuster down the street.
Wow.
And she's
amazing.
Like, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. And I was like, I don't love this. I have no connection to any of these characters.
May I ask
12.
How old you are now?
I am 28.
Right in the middle.
A 20 hater. Yeah. Oh, my friend Kurt and I started this really bad podcast last month, and we decided we're both 28.
You're calling it 20 Haters?
And we're calling it 20 Haters.
Oh, wait, that's an amazing concept. Also, congrats on having a new podcast.
Yeah, welcome.
Thanks. Don't listen to the first one. It's really bad. We have to record a second one.
So what happens when you turn 29? Are you going to become 29ers?
20 Finers.
Ooh, I like that 20 Finer. Well, it just comes from my friend Kurt's really into astrology, and he introduced me to the idea.
Oh, yeah.
That's when Saturn returns every 27 or 28 years, shit
the
goes,
Saturn return,
hits
yeah.
the fan in your life. So.
Yes, that's true. I know that from
my
older friends. Can you talk about how you're fluent in Saturn?
Oh, I am not fluent and never will be. I am conversational.
That's amazing.
I can muddle through at probably a fourth grader's level.
And so you work with deaf theater and New York, right?
Yeah, currently.
That's
yeah.
So
I'm doing
cool.
some stuff for New York Deaf Theater. It's still, you know, we're still figuring stuff out. It's a very small organization, nonprofit theater, championing deaf talent.
That's amazing.
On stage and off stage.
That's amazing.
I love
them.
Oh, man.
So you watched Sex and the City and you didn't like it. And then did it grow on you or do you still hate it? And you're like, why am I here?
No, what happened? Well, after that. I think this was when after Charlotte had already like been with Trey.
Careful
I was like,
of the spoilers.
Oh, that's okay.
But that was like that was my first episode going into. I was like, this is weird, and I don't like this. And I'm like 12 or 11 or something. I was in like fifth or sixth grade.
Yeah.
I don't relate to anybody. And then the movie was coming out shortly after that, maybe a few years later. And I was like, I need to binge watch this. You know, on my
because of
pirated DVD set. Yeah, from my uncle.
Amazing.
Because I need to see the series before I watch the movie.
Didn't expect cats to be cats.
No, this is a different
uncle. Good, just clarifying.
Another uncle of mine, though, actually, who isn't my blood relative, didn't know that the color purple was about, and he thought it was a
like a musical
a montage
about
of Prince.
Purple. Oh my God.
I am.
My uncles are so out of the loop in terms of musical theater.
No, it's a beautiful story about an African American woman finding her voice.
Of course that is. Cynthia Erivo.
Seeley.
But the idea of it.
Cynthia Erivo happened to be in this version, but it is Seeley's
yes,
story.
Yes, it is. Thank you for championing it. I appreciate
Seeley's,
that.
Seeley's
yeah.
story, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, not that we don't love Cynthia Erivo.
No.
Great. And now, do you love Sex and the City?
Yeah, I do. I watched, similar to your podcast, I binged the whole thing in the span of like 2 or 3 days, you know, never leaving my bedroom. That was a while ago. Like literally right before the first movie came out. I don't know what year that was.
It's like 2008, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, that makes sense because that was when...
I just made that up. I don't know. I'm going to check.
I don't know.
It feels right because it was a little bit after it ended.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I have another question for you. Who are you?
Ooh, I've thought about this.
Good.
I am, and I took notes on it because I have to remember.
On just that, I love that.
Yeah, amazing.
I'm into it.
So... most recently, I think, in terms of
2008. Oh, my God.
Oh! Well done.
I knew the second one came out in 2010, so I did some guessing.
Good work.
Nice. That makes sense, though, because that's, like, my first summer after college.
Yeah.
And I, you know, go home for the summer.
Yeah.
Binge watch in my room.
Totally.
But I am, I think, most recently in my behavioral and kind of, like, sexual experiences and stuff.
Yeah.
Or sex experiences.
Love of course.
To be Carrie, a corny Carrie pun. I think I'm Samantha Miranda.
Oh, see, I'm a Miranda Samantha, I think. Like, more heavily Miranda. I love that.
Yeah, in that's exciting for me. For you.
Yeah, for everyone involved.
For everyone.
And my name is Samantha, which is like...
Oh, my God, yes.
Am I the first guest who has the same name as one of the characters?
I think so.
Yeah, well, Samantha...
And you might be the first to identify with Samantha, explicitly.
Not to, like, shut down that... I just feel like Samantha, other than Charlotte, I guess. Never mind.
Well, I think watching back recently and, like, listening to your podcast about Charlotte's experiences, I'm like, wow, I share a lot of similar happenings, like, just weird things that happen in the bedroom with Charlotte.
So do you think, so you're a Samantha with a Charlotte rising?
But
you feel the Miranda.
I really feel the Miranda. Like,
you've got a Charlotte moon, like me.
Maybe, yeah. But then, you know, inwardly, so not through my external behaviors,
right.
I'm crazy Carrie in my head.
So you're all of them.
Internal monologue, I'm 100% crazy Carrie.
You are
I just try and put her in a closet.
Whoa, this is fascinating. I love it.
It's
Carrie
so
kind of needs to be put in a closet sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
I saw a lot of myself in Carrie this episode.
Really?
Yeah, because I'll talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
It's been, I'm like really exposing this one person and I'm like,
well,
maybe you should.
Part of your life. So yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I have a lot of things that I can say about you and I am.
Well, that's why
to
I
quote
don't
Kelly
date,
Kapoor, first of all, how dare you?
That's exactly actually why I don't date people who do stand-up comedy because I'm afraid they'll talk about me.
I know. I was scared.
But now I can't date podcasters either, huh?
I know.
Surprise.
Well, podcasters who have like a specifically like sex-related podcast. I've gotten nervous because I have my eye on two people right now. One person is I've never met and I won't meet her. And there's a very good chance. I just like I have a dream and keep you posted.
Yep.
And the other one... is a long con, but I won't.
It's an excellent long con, though. It's very achievable.
Yeah, there's some things that I'm just choosing
to ignore. That's the thing about a long con. Stuff changes.
But the thing about a long con, too, is that, like, there's no... But that's the thing, is, like, if I talk about it on the pod... They're not going to listen to this podcast.
Nope.
There are things that I know that I only know because I'm a crazy sleuth. And I've done
sleuthing
some...
Sleuthing is my favorite verb.
I've done some research... Mm-hmm. And I have
research.
I've got some spies on the inside. But because I have not been told that information directly, I can. How would I know?
Yep. Yep.
It's a really ridiculous thing, but it's so fun to have a crush on someone.
It is.
Even if I'm forcing it just a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, but it's just like it's the perfect kind of occupying, you know?
I love sleuthing.
Me too.
It's been
the internet's amazing.
So fun.
You know what? I meant to bring this. I know in previous podcasts you've cast the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
In houses. I have to disagree.
Oh, it might be. Is it the same thing as Agnes? Because Agnes came in and was like, I disagree.
Well,
no.
She's listened to all of them.
Yeah,
so
that's
different.
True. I want to hear it.
So I think Charlotte is Ravenclaw.
Interesting. Oh,
because, you know, she's book smart with her art.
Right.
But not so smart in other things, i.e.
Yeah, this time she talked about betrayal. Yeah. She talked about being like the director of her art gallery. And yeah. I was like, oh, that's even more intense than I thought it was.
Yeah, she's important. Yeah.
No, she knows her art shit, I think. Okay. Harry, I think, stay Gryffindor, but I think Miranda and Samantha switch. So Miranda Slytherin, Samantha Hufflepuff.
Honestly,
interesting.
I vibe with that.
I feel like because of the way Samantha, at least thus far, has appeared plot-wise, it kind of makes sense in some ways that she's Hufflepuff and that she, like, people kind of, like, are a little dismissive at times.
To Miranda as a Slytherin.
Everything else, yeah. And yeah. Miranda with her, like, she's so driven and so ambitious. That's Slytherin.
Yeah, totally. Oh, I love this.
Is she shrewd?
She can be.
What does that word mean, and why is it the one they use to describe Slytherins? Because I'm a Slytherin.
Shrewd means you're very like perceptive and smart. It's like a less bad connotation of like, oh shit, what was the word? It just went out of my head. Anyway, it'll come back to me. Yeah, shrewd. It's just like sharp and you get it.
I fuck with that. Should we dive in?
Wait, one really fast. Yeah. What's the most, like, Sex in the City moment you felt has happened to you while you've been here?
Ooh.
Is there anything where you're like, this was...
I've been here for 10 years, so I don't know. That's a lot of years.
It is.
I just gasped at that. Did you go to school here?
I did.
That's like my sister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Violet Heart. No, totally not.
We bleed purple. I get it.
No. Yeah.
Really? Good cat.
But the most, I guess the most recent, I guess.
Sure.
Perfect.
That I can remember off the top of my head is probably having a weird ass cuddling experience recently.
Unpack that, please. Yeah.
Just take everything out, put it in the laundry.
So I, like I said... I identify with Samantha Miranda in my sex experiences.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad we're sticking with this term.
Yeah. I mean, Miranda, you know, she has a problem with, like, cuddling for too long. She likes her schedule.
Right. That just happened.
Yeah. That just happened. So.
Did it just happen to you?
But to the extent that the actual cuddling position was a little weird. Like, I think I have a problem with cuddling itself. And the fact that this cuddling position was so abnormal, it really, you know, just took
Feel
me out
free
of
to comfort. Say no, but can I know more about this position?
So after...
I'm just so curious. I want a demonstration.
This guy actually texted me a couple of days ago, so I hope he doesn't listen to this. I won't tell him. It's fine. No. I don't think he knows my last name.
Great. There you go.
I love this.
after just, you know... doing the deed, I'm totally fine with doing what I call chopsticking, which is not spooning, which is lying straight, prostrate next to somebody. Mm-hmm. Maybe we hold hands. That's fine. But I like to lie on my back on
a
mattress.
Especially when you're sweaty?
Yes. I like to be comfortable.
Okay.
And I've never been like a side sleeper. I can't fall asleep. I don't like hairy armpits. So this guy not only decides to pull me in so close to his, you know, into his chest and like armpit area, but decides to use my own head as a pillow and put it on top of mine, like it was comfortable
his head
for
on
him.
Your head.
Yes, so
like
it was
on top of
in a different dimension from my head.
What? That's doesn't sound comfortable for anyone.
No. And it was such an odd choice. And I didn't know how to tell him to stop other than, like, eventually after, like,
away.
5 minutes. Yeah. I did the Homer Simpson sleuth into the bush.
I was going to say
incredible reference.
The Friends thing. When it's like the like squeeze and roll,
yeah,
and then someone ends up falling off the bed.
But it's hard to squeeze and roll when you're the one being squeezed so tightly.
True.
I'm straight up like that. I'm like first night. I'm like we can snug.
Pull a carry and just whack him in the face.
I'm like we can snug.
Happened to me before too. I've been whacked in the face.
Jeez.
No, not me. But I'll be like, listen, homie, we can cuddle. Thanks for the sex. until I need to go to bed, and then I'm deucing out to the other side of this bed.
Yeah.
And, I think they respect it. Okay.
As they should. Episode time.
Yeah.
Get ready, everyone, for a really kind of rough one.
You guys,
rough, not in a plot line. Well, not in a, like, love way. Rough in a, like, this is egregious writing.
It's really, weird. I realize I really don't.
But good to talk about.
Yes, I don't like the term, the caste system. So the episode is called The Caste System.
Well, the caste system is a real thing, but to apply it to New York society is, I think, what's so, like, cringy.
Yeah.
Right? Because that, I had the same reaction. Yeah, the episode begins with Carrie listing things that she loves about New York.
And for the first time, they're like, hey, guys, it's spring.
Yes. I thought the same thing. They give us a specific.
We don't get spring
here anymore. I know, right? Is spring anywhere? But they give us a specific time of year. And Carrie loves this time of year because it's like the 1 week before it gets hot, but when it's nice.
So things that Carrie loves about New York.
Mm-hmm.
The week in spring where it's not too hot, it's not too cold.
I do love cherry blossoms. Mm-hmm. There are a bunch of cherry blossoms on this screen.
Yes. And the trees start blooming. She loves men in suits.
That there are 3 newspapers and 12 gossip columns.
Yeah.
Which feels like what would your guys' versions of that be if you were narrating the beginning of your show about New York? Like, what do you love about New York?
I also like that week in spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
But it's summer now, and I love summer outdoor movies.
Yeah. There are some good ones and ways to do that around the city.
Mm-hmm. No, I hate New York.
I love the feeling of, like, complete autonomy I have in New York, that I am fully in charge of myself and can go and do whatever the fuck I want, and everyone around me is doing that.
Mm-hmm. I like when I'm walking down a busy street in, like, Soho, and I look up and I, like, can appreciate the architecture because I'm so little that I often don't see past a door appreciating the, like, culture and the history
of New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been around for, you know, a long time.
I like street food. Yeah,
you do like street food.
Although those hot dogs were not good, but I just like my favorite place to eat by work is a cart. But I just love that the smell of it, like the smell when you're walking in, like, halal. Midtown. Yeah.
And she says, Carrie's like, it's not hard to say I love you to New York,
but
it's, she has trouble saying I love you to Mr. Big. Okay.
And she takes us through.
She's like, this is the first time I thought I love you, and the first time I wanted to say, but j'accuse Miss Bradshaw, because doesn't she love him in season 1? I remember her in her big monologue at the end of season 1 being like, I love you, but I can't go to Bermuda with you because you won't choose me or whatever.
Wow.
And also, she, when she's freaking out to Miranda about with the paint, and it's like, it's not about the paint. And she's like,
right.
I love him, and I'm worried I'm not perfect enough for him. And I was like,
that seems like lazy writing.
Continuity.
Maybe she just never felt like saying it in season 1.
But
true, but here they say.
Because they use all these euphemisms, like, just tell me I'm the one.
Right. Well, she says,
I love you.
The first time that I thought it, he, like, has a smudge of something on his face, and she, like, cute laughs at him. And I do think in some ways it does really just happen that way, where there's a moment where you're like, oh, I just identified this thing that's been happening. Oh,
what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
But then there's the time that she wants to say it to him. He takes her to a ballet that he hates.
And her hair is crimped.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's half crimped.
Which is even half funnier.
Oh.
And half, like, just her natural hair.
She's like, I love.
I don't vibe with that look.
Your hair like that.
She scruffles him up.
So, okay. Obviously, this is going to be the crux of this. The ballet. This is going to be the crux of this issue this night. And then we have, like, a weird plot line that allows Carrie to not once again say the things she's thinking, because the whole reason this becomes an issue is because she says it when she isn't, it's not the right time to.
Mm-hmm. I know, I think, which brings it is.
It brings the issue up, but, like, what a bad way to start it, you know? Well, so she has to change her shoes. They're going out to dinner, and he's like, surprise. I brought you a prezi. And
what's
she pulls it
in the
out.
Bag?
And it's like this Swarovski.
Beautiful.
Crystal swan clutch. And it is.
It's hideous.
Is it a swan or a duck? Because I think I can justify why Big might pick this out because they just went to the ballet.
It's a swan.
It's a swan.
Did they just see Swan Lake?
That's what I thought too, but then later it's because funny. All his rich friends have these bags.
But he could have picked like another shape.
That's true. But she hates it.
And then she's like, I love you.
But I think this is Big's I love you because in Friends, Ross gets Carol a ridiculously expensive crystal duck. So ducks mean love, people.
I will say this is not a podcast
it's
about
not
Friends.
A podcast about Friends. So I was going to say the same
careful.
Thing. It's okay.
No.
But maybe in the 90s, ducks mean love.
It is still a swan, but yes.
But she calls foul. It a duck. But maybe I agree, it does look like a swan.
Maybe she's just being pejorative. She hates the gift. She hates it.
Yes.
But what she says to him is, I love you, instead of anything about the gift. And importantly, what he says back is, you're welcome, and awkwardly kisses her face.
Face, like not her mouth. Like, because sometimes you're like, he right. kissed my face, yeah. and you're like, you made out. Yeah. No, he like literally kisses like some part of her nose.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we cut to brunch.
Yeah, we cut to brunch, and they're all horrified by this clutch, as they honestly should be, because it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
It's so ugly.
It's so ostentatious. And everyone is like, this purse, what the hell? And Charlotte posits that maybe he thought she said I love, or that she said I love it, and she's like, nope, he definitely heard me say I love you, and yeah. definitely kissed me awkwardly on the face.
Yeah.
And then she says this funny thing that,
not funny because I've been there. So here's the thing, you guys.
Well, the funny line is the milk curdling.
Oh,
that's what I was referring to. Shelf
life of a dairy product.
She says, so they ask how long she's gonna wait before she's like, really, she basically gives herself an ultimatum. She's like, either he says it back yeah. or we have to break up.
Which is like a ridiculous test and is not fair because people move at different paces. However, I will say.
Yes.
I was ready to say I love you to a person mm-hmm. very, not very quickly, a reasonable amount of time, mm-hmm. like almost a year. And it took them so long to say it back that I had this conversation with myself. I was like, if he can't tell me that he loves me in 6 months, like if we've been dating for a year and a half and he cannot tell me he loves me, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing?
And we had when you're inside of it, it's hard.
We had many conversations about it. And he's just like, yeah. I realize it's because he's a sociopath. But okay, dodged the bullet there. And so then, but when he did finally say, I love you, like it was like very meaningful. And like, I believed it, obviously. But I was like, I was ready to say I love you when we first started dating because like there was this whole drama with everything, and it's like quite a lovely story actually until it ends. But
well, that's a lot more reasonable though, because Carrie's funny line is that she says she's giving him basically as long as your dairy products would have a shelf life. Yeah, if you're lucky, I guess.
It's such an interesting contrast too, because just from like hanging out with deaf people more frequently than probably the average person.
Mm-hmm.
In deaf culture, people just throw around the I love you sign all over the place, like to their second grade teacher, like to
Well, I think whomever. With so theater so people too, like where
it's true.
Very well, but then with the second person that that I said I love you to, we were kind of like, I said I love you before because I love you as a friend. Mm-hmm. I don't want to stop saying I love you. But I'm not sure if I'm in love with you. And but we still said I love you. Like,
yeah, I know how that goes.
Throughout. So, it's like a very tricky line. And I think that...
when you've already said it more casually.
Because like I think there are... like when you add a physical to an already like intense emotional connection, mm-hmm. like you're going to feel it, I think, faster.
It's just different,
well,
too.
You
it's
would
just
think, like but maybe it takes a year and a year and a half. But whatever.
Who knows?
Who's
unexpectedly, the only non-cynical person really at this table is Miranda. And she's so freaking cute about
positive
Steve.
Positive Miranda.
She's so darling. And they're all like, are you really happy the one Miranda. Championing love right now? Carrie's voiceover like, can't
also,
believe it.
Also, Tony Award winner Cynthia Nixon doesn't not look like a Keebler elf.
That's true. They've really not done her any services with this hair.
It's like
brassy, it's like red.
It's red, but also it's just like weird. It's like pixie cut, but it's like
down
bangs
to her head.
And like
it's just there's no volume to it.
So Miranda is with Steve, and she'll only go to places where he can afford because she has the money in the relationship,
and she knows that he insists on paying. He's like, no, your money's no good here. Go grab us a bench. And he's so cute in his little accent. Plot line gets old real fast.
Yeah.
I have a question for you both.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see how Skipper was a warm up for Steve?
Yes.
And also that Miranda's type is people who are obsessed with her?
yes. Although
Skipper was like egregiously so, and Steve is like a real person. Although I must say I was really disappointed with him at the end of this episode.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
But I think
aesthetically
I get it.
As well.
I think I get it, and I get it. Glasses. Yeah, right. They actually look really similar. I hadn't processed that.
I love pizza.
Yeah, me too. I had dollar pizza for lunch today.
But have you played this like on dates, especially like first or second dates too? You've played this pay game, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've played this pay game before.
Well, it's funny because so the person I'm dating now, we've always just split everything kind of without talking about it. And so it was just easy. And now actually the deeper into the relationship we are, it's more common that someone will just like take it because it just like evens out, you know, but it's not a like, I'm paying for you for this. But then my boyfriend in Ireland was much more like Steve. And like, mm-hmm. I don't love this plot line, but I also think this is a really real thing for a lot of guys, especially the gender thing at play here the is pride. Really interesting because that's really what it's about, as they point out later. But Steve is really, like, he's pretty adamant about this. And, like, I know my boyfriend would have, in Ireland, would have felt weird or, like, threatened or, like, just, like, why is she doing this if I'd, like, insisted on paying for something?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we split things, but it's definitely, it's, like, hammered into, it's one of those things that's just, like, a learned behavior, I think, for guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sam, I take it you're single.
I am single.
I said that but just based on your stories, I've gathered.
Right, based on your
dating
sex
or trying to anyway. Mm-hmm. Yes. Sent out like 10 messages yesterday, seeing if I get reeling any fish back.
Look at you!
I know. I'll just send in like 15, and I'm like, well, you matched me. Why don't you respond to me? But so the whole like Miranda plot of this episode is that she invites Steve to come to this like lawyer event.
Yeah. Like nice dinner party thing.
Which is
seems.
A big deal for her.
It right. is a big deal for her. And she's like, you're going to have to wear a
and
suit.
And she doesn't have to pretend to be a lesbian this time.
Yes. Exactly. But she's like, you have to wear a suit.
Was a real thing that happened.
Do you have a suit? And he was like, it's golden corduroy. And she was like, ah, no.
Well, then she goes back to his place.
For
too,
the first time.
For the first time, which is kind of crazy. And he can tell she's not really into it. And he makes a couple jokes that she like, can't tell her jokes. I mean,
it's a studio.
Tiny.
It's
yeah.
a studio.
And he says, you know, it's close to the bar. It's close to the bar and it's cheap and you never have to come here again.
Which is sweet.
And he doesn't say it in a rude way. He's like, in this moment, he's not like making it a thing. He's really just like, I can tell this is not your jam.
But
your place is better.
On what he's wearing right now, I find it so hard to believe he doesn't have like a white button up and just like a plain colored sport coat.
Also, the idea that you would have to have a
you
suit.
You only
to go
have
to a
gold
dinner.
Corduroy.
I mean, I guess.
I think you'd have to have a suit.
I guess.
Well,
yeah,
for Miranda's
I guess.
Job, yeah.
That's true.
It
it's
like
true. It's,
and that corduroy is really ugly.
Yeah. And it's gold. Maybe black would fly.
Yeah, I work in a law firm. What am I talking about? Yeah. This is a funny
and
scene.
And he's not
where
Paddington Bear. He doesn't need to dress all in corduroy.
No,
Paddington.
He does kind of look like Paddington Bear. This is a really fascinating scene.
Here's the thing that I think is interesting.
Yes.
Just they're all getting pedicures, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Samantha, however, is filing her own nails.
I noticed that too.
In the nail salon, and like she's like getting
her fingernails.
She's like getting a pedicure and like using the nail file
That's
to
really
like
funny.
Punctuate. And I'm like, but
why are you doing
that right now?
Well, they're all on a long bench together, which is so funny. And they keep shooting to these like four turned around women just doing their feet. Which is a weird precursor to what's to come. In this.
And Charlotte's like, well, he's not in your level. And, you know, he's poor.
He's middle. He's working class. Yeah. And they're like, what?
It's the millennium.
And
I love that.
Line. It's the millennium. You can't just say things like that.
Carrie says something and I wrote, oh, is Carrie poor? Is Carrie not rich? You fooled me.
Well, also then Charlotte does this thing where you're like, you're so wrong, but you base your wrongness in these weird nuggets of truth where she's like,
yeah,
but you're talking about more than a difference in income. You're talking about a difference in background and education. This guy is working class.
Working class?
Yeah.
It's the millennium, sweetie. We don't say things like working class anymore.
But you're trying to pretend that we live in a classless society, and we don't.
She's like, well, it may not be right, but it's still part of society and we all live in it.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, damn.
What? This is not the first time this has happened for Miranda, where like mm-hmm. her being successful and her having money as a single woman has like come to like bite her in the ass, like when she was trying to get the apartment or now.
Yeah.
Or like at work, you know.
Have you guys watched Insecure? Another
I haven't HBO. Yet, but that's actually next on my list.
I am on the second
episode. I'm really
episode.
Excited. I've listened to a bunch of interviews with Issa Rae, and she's so freaking cool.
Well, just like when you watch it, I see a lot of Charlotte in season one, Molly, okay. who plays Issa's friend.
I'm going to put that in my brain.
Just in terms of like they have, those characters have this idea and picture of what kind of guy they're supposed to be with. And a lot of it is based on like background, education, the type of job mm-hmm. they have, things like that. And I think those are like, I find myself thinking about that stuff too sometimes when I'm swiping on the Bumble.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have to stop myself from being a snob and being like,
no, I'm like, did you go to a school that's, yeah. that I think you're smart enough for me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, maybe, you know, you couldn't afford to go to Princeton.
Gotta check that impulse.
But anyway, Charlotte is like, you think we don't live in a class system? And like looks at the women who are giving them pedicures, which becomes a weird
precursor
thing in this episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything about the way this plotline is handled is bad.
I think... like what Charlotte says, it like you said, is mm-hmm. nuggeted in so much truth.
Yeah.
But the ickiness, I think, feeling that I get from it is the fact that this episode kind of associates that, you know, class system with people in the service industry or people of color.
Yeah,
that's
literally
the ickiness.
Explicitly, and not that's only that, not only that, they point these things out and then just continue to exploit the system. There's no like, and maybe this isn't a good thing. It's like Charlotte's like, yeah, it's bad, but this is the world we live in. And then the rest of them proceed to just live in that world.
I think Charlotte would vote for
Trump. And then Carrie like bends
yeah,
down
definitely.
And says, oh, thank you for my pedicure.
I know,
she feels
like,
so guilty.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank you.
It
but
is
it's
an
not
interesting,
to say,
yeah. it is an interesting, like.
And Samantha's like, actually, that's so funny you mentioned that.
Ugh.
I'm dating a guy with a lit servant.
But see, this isn't the first time she's dated someone who has like a housekeeper, someone
has
who works in the house.
Yeah, because that comes with
that
wealth
guy.
At a certain point, right? And he, but the difference is he didn't have a live-in woman of color mm-hmm. to be totally
so
subservient
it's like,
to him.
Super like.
Her name is Some.
We suppose that she is Thai because her boss, Harvey Turkle, makes this comment about not having better food in Bangkok than what
right.
he's getting.
So
we
like
suppose
maybe
that.
We don't ever
we
learn
don't really
anything
know.
About her. We don't even really learn what their arrangement is. But she comes in and like very subserviently serves dinner. Well, it's interesting. Like we don't even get any information about Harvey either. Usually Carrie like runs through this like litany of, you know,
stats.
This is yeah, exactly the stats. She doesn't even do that. This whole thing is just about this like weird triangle that Samantha gets herself into.
Uh-huh. It's like, is it a love triangle? What is
yes,
it?
Yeah.
She's dressed up, I feel, very ambiguously.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, an expert on traditional Thai dress,
no.
but she's definitely playing the role of that kind of oriental role.
Right,
yes.
where
she's
it doesn't
got the
feel,
long
they've
black
given
hair.
Her no specificity.
Yeah, she's got on...
sort of a kimono, maybe?
I don't even know, but you know, it's not like American dress.
Right, very clearly she's othered.
And you don't know whether or not it's her character doing it on purpose, like it's her character's intention, or it whether her boss,
yeah.
Harvey Turkle, likes this.
Yes,
right.
I agree.
Right.
And expects it of her.
And the other thing is, it seems she doesn't really speak English.
Yeah.
She has like a, she does a little bit, but she says very little and she has a really heavy accent. And he also is like, her English skills aren't good.
Which I don't think is that bad. She says all English words.
Yeah.
Well,
I think she
true.
Just has an accent.
So Carrie starts pontificating like, are we a caste
can we
date system
outside of our caste
like,
system?
I was like, oh.
Which is a really upsetting way to phrase a question that
yeah.
kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Because what she's asking is like people sort out into different levels in lots of different ways, whether consciously or not. And a lot of those are like societally backed up. And she often feels like she's on a different level than Big.
And mm-hmm. under him.
And that becomes like in this episode really exacerbated.
Because everything Carrie does is really exacerbated.
Yeah. And well, it's interesting because she in some ways kind of reacts the way that Steve does.
Yeah.
Where she like lashes out back at him.
Well, the lower state,
right.
the lower class, the lower... wow, I really status.
Yeah.
Person.
Yeah.
And like Carrie now feels that she has to overcompensate, I think, and So Big brings up the night he gave her the purse, and he's like,
he does the dickest thing. He knows what he's doing. The way he says this.
Listen, there's something I've been meaning to tell you ever since the night I gave you the purse. You can take it back if you don't like it.
Because that, to me, feels pretty deliberate. He knows she said it, and he didn't say it back. Like, he's fully aware of that. And so to be like, there was a thing I want to tell you about the other night. You can return that bag if you don't want it.
Yeah.
But remember what he says before that?
Tell me.
When he talks about going to a villa in Italy with his ex-wife.
And instead of a girl. Well, he also refers to her as the ex. And I was like, we know her name. We've literally met her. Carrie's met her. Carrie was a crazy person about it. But he's like, I would love to go to Italy with someone I actually like. And it's like, bleh.
But I think that's his kind of leading up to I love you moment. Right.
I think these are big gestures. The problem is I think I fundamentally dislike the way Big expresses himself.
Yeah.
But you're right. And I can see, like, he does at different moments in this try, and he's really sweet. Yeah, unfortunately, the package it comes in is...
Seen him in other instances.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And then this plot line.
Wiley Ford, celebrity. Because this is a cast above all casts. People who get cast.
The movie stars.
Movie stars.
But
Wiley Ford is my 1D, my Liam Payne. I wrote, while he's bad, I know he's I know he's not the brightest crayon.
I wrote
in the box. Wiley
but Ford. I would go in that car.
Yeah, I was like, he's my too. Type, and I hate myself.
He kind of is like, the more this went on, the more I was like, Ashton Kutcher light? He has that kind of like...
mixed with like Jason Sudeikis.
Yes, I see that for sure. When they're in the club specifically, I see Adam.
It's Ashton Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher and Jason Sudeikis.
Yes.
So Wiley Ford, movie star, comes into a Charlotte's gallery and asks about this piece of art, and you guys,
which is
the fire extinguisher,
the literal fire extinguisher.
And he goes, "Why don't you close the gallery early and come hang out?"
He says, "You're adorable."
And so they cut to them making out in
a limo.
In his limo,
he has champagne, and he calls her Charlene. And she corrects him, and he says, "I prefer Charlene."
So gross.
And then he makes the driver pull over so we can pee in an alley. That was one word. Yeah. Pee in an alley.
Pee in an alley. Take a leak, he says.
Take a leak.
Which is my least favorite euphemism for peeing.
Yeah.
Like, I hate
taking... Kind of sounds like you're just, like, opening something and just letting it...
Leak out.
Trickle.
I think that's what it is meant.
Charlotte's wearing this like baby pink dress.
She's such an angel.
Which I think is setting her up to play that like fangirl.
Virgin whore. Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm in the entourage. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing this groupie. Pink, innocent, girly dress.
Okay, but you know what's interesting is Carrie's like, get out. She calls Carrie from the limo and Carrie's
like,
listen
guess
to me.
Where I am.
Get out of there. Get out of there. And we never find out why Carrie says that.
Right. Well, what Charlotte says is, I know I'm breaking all my rules. And I think maybe what's inferred is that Carrie's just like, this is so far outside of your usual. And maybe she knows he's bad news.
I was like, oh, Carrie's us. Like, we know, like, we've heard rumors about, like, people who are, who are like, other actors who are like have an X amount of success who like become icky. I was like, oh, Carrie's us. Like, Carrie knows because she's in this world.
And do you think Carrie knows Wiley?
Maybe.
Do you think she's met him?
Do you think she's
slept
with
him? Well,
she like
writes. I don't think she's probably slept with him because they'd all know. Mm. But maybe she like has come across his path and like knows he has this reputation and knows XYZ.
Yeah. I wish we had gotten a scene of Carrie being like, oh, yeah, he's done so much and such.
But Charlotte doesn't listen to her.
Oh, no.
Also, these cell phones are changing the game, calling each other from the car. It's amazing. So
cut across town. Samantha is waking up in her...
Beau's house.
Harry, is that his name?
Harvey.
Sorry.
Who we don't know literally nothing about. In a terrible brown
Shirt
and brown tie.
And Harvey's like, I'm going to work. Stay here. Some will make you breakfast.
And she's like, what? No, she doesn't have to do that. And he talks her into it. And
he says,
how do you
know
like
she
eggs?
Loves it.
Yes.
She likes it.
Which is automatically like hair raising, kind
yes.
of.
Yes.
Okay, lazy boss. Out of bed.
Excuse me?
I must wash sheets.
Okay. Should I have my breakfast in the dining room or
breakfast? I got no time to make breakfast. Got a lot of work to do around here.
So we're just straight up demonizing her immediately?
She just like goes at Samantha and it's like,
what is happening here?
I'm just like, why? I don't, it's just bad writing.
I kind of love it though.
Really? Yeah, tell us.
Well, you know, obviously it's icky that Harvey assumes his person he presumably pays, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoys making breakfast for you don't know how many guests he's having or how frequently.
Totally. So she's like the old guy. I'm not making you breakfast.
We don't know.
Yeah, right.
He could do this every day. We don't know. And then I kind of love how she comes in.
The one thing that I was like, you need to wash the sheets while the woman is still in the bed. Like, I get it. Be like, please leave. Like, I'm not going to make you breakfast. But I was a little astounded that she was like ripping the sheets. I mean, she like goes off on her.
Well, it's it's weird writing because there are nuggets in it where you're like, yeah, she probably does have a billion things to do and probably does need to get her day started, but we're never going to address that. Samantha's going to have no knowledge of that. Instead, we're just going to see outbursts.
Also, it's not like Samantha was actively like rude to this woman. Like, it's interesting that she immediately, like, how many women do you think she's brought in that she's had to like.
Well, something that is interesting is I think right before that scene takes place, Samantha like stretches in bed and she's thinking about, and Carrie's voiceover is like, Samantha would never have a servant, but she decided she was totally fine with a boyfriend who had one, which is kind of like peak white feminism when you're like, oh yeah, conceptually terrible, but like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to condemn anyone I know for engaging in these bad things. You're just like, Samantha, you're putting no effort into even just like thinking about what's happening.
Treating a person like someone's Netflix password. Yeah, like I'm not gonna get my own Netflix password. But I'm okay with borrowing the person's I'm seeing.
My ex-boyfriend and I had a deal that as long as I could keep his mom's Hulu password, he could keep my Xfinity account. Like, after we broke up, we were like,
oh, amazing.
I mean, I don't use hers anymore. I use someone else.
Right. You moved on.
But I wonder if he still uses mine. I'm gonna text him.
Well, good idea.
Also, Harvey never gives. He tells Samantha, "Some will cook you breakfast." She loves doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He takes her fake order, like in this weird, role play way, and then he never tells some what she wants for breakfast.
That's true.
He just says, "Take care of Samantha," and that could have meant get her out of the apartment because I'm done with her.
They could have an agreement. You're totally right.
Oh my god, I bet they do.
Because she works for her.
Yeah. My whole theory is that they like. Are in love.
Well, my theory would be the darker side of that, which is that he does whatever he wants because he can't really have consent.
Yeah.
And you, like, own and sort
I
of
share
own
my
another
theory
person.
With Bridget.
Yeah. So I would imagine if it was sexual, it would be him assuming that was part of his duties and her being like,
I'm naive.
Fuck that.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Because I can see that too. I just immediately was like, I don't know anything about this guy and I don't trust him.
Yeah.
That adds to it. That's so interesting. I didn't even think about that. That he could be like, get this woman out.
Yeah, we don't know.
So now we have kind of the crux of like the hard Miranda Steve issue of this episode.
They're fitting. She's Elle Woodsing him and is like, I'm in a. They're like, he's like trying on the suit and she's like taking it like a man. And she's like sipping wine, water coily.
And
she's like,
oh yeah, we got to keep the shoes.
Make the cuff this way. Yeah. Like, Miranda's like revealing her. Cast,
right,
in quotes,
right.
Her
comfort level in a suit store,
and he's like,
her knowledge of all of this, like,
and Steve
men's
is so
fashion.
Cute. He's like, it's weird how good I look.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I guess we're keeping the shoes.
And Samantha's like, or fuck. And Miranda's like, it's my treat. And he's like, no.
Which absolutely not.
And then she like really, really tries and his credit card gets declined and they go through this whole back and forth about it.
And then, well, after she tries and he's clearly not going to and the credit card gets declined, she's like, try one of mine. And he's like, no. And she's like, okay, why don't you just not get the suit? Because she feels bad she's walked him into this. Like, the last thing she wanted was for him to insist on paying $800 for a suit, which 20 years ago was like, what, a $3,000 suit?
Yeah. Well, it ends up being like, what, $1,800?
That's what I mean. So like 20 years plus is, I don't know.
Yeah.
And can they not rent a suit? That's what I don't...
Yeah, just
rent the runway. Come
they
on.
Buy it. You know, before these brilliant internet businesses.
I was kind of like, 90s. Steve, why are you being so like...
I don't like the plot line, but like, I see this happen in real life,
yes,
you know,
yes.
I think. And so I imagine 20 years ago, it's only more intense and he probably already felt insecure about this, mm-hmm. especially if she like doesn't come to his apartment. And like, this is how I felt at Northwestern was I came to Northwestern and like my eyes were open in a lot of ways. And I was also like, oh my God, there are so many people with money in a way that I like didn't even know was real.
Yeah.
And like, there were a lot of experiences as a student. I just like couldn't participate in them the same way because I couldn't buy into them in the same way. And so like, in some ways I get this because it's really easy to start feeling resentful. And so like, not even just in a romantic setting, like there's a lot of pride associated with it. And in some ways it's like fun to, you know, ride people's coattails when they want to, but then also you
whether or not you want the gift, like inherently you start feeling bad and like there's this weird power imbalance and like you can't give it back in the same way. So like I get it, but I also, the way he takes it is really over the top and it only escalates from here.
My ex doesn't use my Xfinity anymore. So.
Thank you. I'm so glad we cleared that
up. We balanced that out.
That's funny.
But yes, I agree with you.
Because it's I get it. Hello, trucks. It's unfortunate he takes it really as far as he does. It's too much. But like, well, and then he's like, his card's declined. So he's like, okay, I'm going to write you, put $800 on my card. I'm going to write you a check for $1,000 and we'll put the rest on, which I was also like, wait, that's $1,800. There's no rest to pay in cash.
The shoes.
Oh, maybe. Good call.
Yeah. So we cut to this party with Big and Carrie.
And it's an Upper East Sider named Serena. And I was like, is this the original Gossip Girl?
And maybe. Carrie's wearing this like weird pattern dress and she just like doesn't look like she fits.
Also, her hair has been so straight in that like 2000 way this whole episode.
All these women are carrying these bedazzled purses. Serena Bush, I forgot.
Well, Carrie knew her in high school and says she was famous for her dad's money and
her relationship with
drug dealers.
And now she's has her husband's money and is famous with her relationship with a movie star or something.
Yeah, maybe. I forget exactly. But basically, she's defined by her money. And Carrie already feels out of place and she realizes all these women have these purses that Big got her.
And then she's like, wow, I realize he doesn't know me at all. Yeah. He just bought this for me because everyone in his cast was buying it.
Right. Yeah. And I think also she's like that, you know, we came to this party and that like he thought I'd fit in here. Just like everything about it, she feels like he doesn't know who she is.
And she orders a red wine and the waiter, whatever, is like, we don't serve brown liquids, only clear.
Well, because Serena's like, watch my white carpets. Which,
so this makes me think, this no brown food or drink thing, is it a no brown people thing,
right,
too?
Also.
Probably.
But looked and I saw some token people of color.
There's literally in this shot.
Like a maybe Latina woman?
Oh, I thought maybe a Middle Eastern.
Oh, interesting. Sure. She is kind of a token, though, right there.
And then,
but then Carrie gets kicked out for smoking, and she's like, I was ousted from the fanciest levels. It's like, well, I don't know. If you were smoking in my fancy apartment, I'd probably tell you to go to the terrace, too.
If you were smoking like in my apartment, which is not that fancy, I'd kind of be like, just like try to keep it outside.
Yeah.
Like, especially cigarettes.
We've talked about this. That's what sticks around.
But
Carrie's whole playing the victim thing, too, really rubs me the wrong way.
She sets these, like,
she goes on the terrace of her own free will. Nobody, like,
she was like, you need to leave. Not to defend this woman, because I don't think that she's like a good woman.
Yes.
But
Serena.
She's like, thing. I'm like, no smoking in the house. Fine.
And it's not.
And
like
she's like, if you want to smoke
on the terrace.
Yeah. And Carrie goes, well, that's where you'll find me. Yeah. And like huffs and puffs off, literally puffs.
Which
off.
When she did this, I was like, she's going to be pissed that Big doesn't come outside with her. Like everything she does is, you can see the test she's setting up and that he's not going to follow through.
So we've seen one level of cast, and then we go to Charlotte, who's like smoking pot with Wiley Ford in a
She's like, I didn't know weed was legal in restaurants. And he's like, it's not. And he's picked up this whole posse.
Yeah, his entourage. And I really hope that like if people we know become that famous that they don't become like that. And then I thought about how sad I was that Chris Pratt and Anna Faris are getting
married. I know. I really
this
have
was
been.
A devastating week for love in pop culture.
The other day I was like, well, if Chris Pratt has let me down, at least Per Macklin never will. He's in the shower.
Fictional character. Yes. Keeping it going.
It made me really sad.
So Samantha is now at dinner.
And she asks Harvey, she's like, after you left, all this weird stuff happened. And he's like, well, her English isn't very good.
Well,
you misunderstood.
Like, she was very rude to me.
Yeah, she doesn't give some any benefit of the doubt whatsoever and expects Harvey, I think, to like rush to her defense, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Some was rude, but I think the weirdness comes from he goes, oh, no, her English isn't very good.
Right. And we're like, no, we know that's
anything
not true.
Anything of her intention
I wanna put this quote in
is bandied by the fact that her English isn't very good.
Well, so it's also what's interesting about a loaded thing like him saying she doesn't speak English very well. It's like he must know that she does. And so if he does, why is he lying? And if he doesn't, are we really
really gonna like paint this character that way with absolutely no context? But she's like
the first person of color.
In the dark.
Is this the first like Asian speaking role in the series?
Yes, 100%. Oh, yeah. I think maybe one of the power lesbians.
They're one of the power lesbians who host power lesbians in heavy quotes who hosted the party was.
Well, I was gonna say those were our first like people of color with speaking lines, and this is the second.
Yeah.
Like,
except for that, the busboy they called the Pakistani busboy.
Asian people of color have only been portrayed in a negative light.
Yeah, that woman too.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, they cap off that scene with Samantha and that, like, terrible pun about her name is Sum, and Carrie says, oh, Samantha figures out that Sum, she wasn't so dim, and it's like, it's a bad pun on dim sum.
Yeah.
Dim sum is a Chinese meal. Sum is supposed to be Thai. Gross homogenization of all like of that just happens all the time anyway in American media of Asian cultures and peoples and foods. Yeah. And like the whole thing of dim in the English language meaning not smart.
Right.
To assume non-English speaking
is not smart.
Not smart.
It's like it feels like the writers weren't even trying to be as offensive as they ended up being.
Yeah.
Because there's just this, like, laziness about it and laziness about the storyline where, like, especially watching this maybe with 20 years more context or just more, like, dialogue at least, is like, what? So many parts of this.
I wanted to know who wrote this episode specifically. It was Darren Star. Did Darren Star write all episodes?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
I think the best ones are the ones written by women.
I would assume that's true, apparently.
So, Carrie is now on the terrace, and her friend, who is a caterer, who's working as...
He was a friend from also from high school, but who's now working as a caterer.
I don't know where maybe he got high school.
Maybe I just imagined that. But she's known him for a while.
And they have an intense flirtation.
And honestly, watching them, Carrie, be interested and flirt with him was more interesting than I've been in... interested than I've been in her and Big in a long time. But he's like, I have a new tattoo,
and it's like right over his dick.
And she's like, how far down does it go? And he's like, pretty far. And they set up this unbelievable scene where he like unbuckles his pants and pulls them sort of open, and Carrie like leans down in front of him, and Serena walks out of the doors and is like, what's this blowjob I see?
And like runs immediately to Big, and Big is like, were you giving a blowjob on the terrace? And Carrie's like, fuck you, man.
Well, he says to the caterer, and she's like, he wasn't a caterer, because I guess he wasn't.
Yeah. Well, he is a caterer at this party.
Oh, right.
But first of all, she's like, he's a performance artist. So she's like feeling very prideful about like being an artist in an environment that she's not comfortable
in. Which, that's the defensiveness I can recognize.
So I was like, Carrie, you live on the Upper East Side.
Yeah. To imagine that she is like poor by any stretch of the imagination is... kind of ridiculous.
And doesn't she refer to Big, like, doesn't Jeremiah, the performance artist / caterer, ask her, oh, are you friends with these people, are you here with any, so she refers to Big as some guy, she
she's like almost equally embarrassed. Well, it's an interesting thing also, because then it's
how
like,
long have they been dating?
Over a year.
So, and but she's trying to get some guy to say I love you
a year and a half total at this point, if at least.
Honestly,
because the first time was a year.
If anybody wants to make me a timeline,
we'll appreciate it deeply.
Please send it to me.
It still doesn't make sense. We just know it's spring.
It's spring.
That's all.
All we know for sure. We know they dated for a year when season two started, and now it's spring.
Yep.
What time of year it was when this season started, it might have been spring also.
It could just be permanently spring in New York. They are all dressed for different occasions at all times.
They're always wearing a coat, but it's also unclear if the coat is for like early fall or early spring. Also, when is it winter?
Never.
It's definitely snowed in some
point.
That's
true. Didn't she kiss the Yankee? Did it snow?
No.
Never mind.
No, she just cried. That was like opening weekend, right? So that was probably spring.
Oh, good. And that was 10 episodes ago. So that makes no sense.
So it's been another year, presumably?
That's crazy. I can't even assume that. So they've been dating for 2 years total.
I hate it all.
That doesn't make sense to
me. That's a long ass time.
It is.
And I would be offended. And
he slept at her place for the first time like last episode.
Yeah, but was that a week ago? Or was that six months ago?
Great question. Nothing makes sense.
But it is interesting
from like the other end of the spectrum, not the like wealthy elites, like obviously it's not classism in the same way, but there is almost a distaste, I feel like, when you're among people who are like, if you don't have a lot of money and you're around other people and you're either like
have friends who do or are attached to someone, or you start to make money, that almost becomes like a weird, shameful thing too, because it's like inherently associated with the idea that with money comes class, or like you think you're better, or mm-hmm. because like it's just money is just so complicated from many ends of the spectrum, mm-hmm. I think. And so Carrie almost has this weird, like with the caterer, when she's like, he's just some guy, like she almost doesn't want to, she wants to be on that, on the, on his level at yeah, that moment.
Yeah. Anyway, across town, Miranda.
She's late to her dinner, and Skipper shows up and
does. Breaks my Steve.
Wow, you put it in my head, and now I can't unsee it, and I'm kind of mad about it.
I'm really, really sorry. Skipper's brother, Steve.
Well, it's also, I love Steve so much. Oh my God, that would be a plot twist. I love Steve so much, but this was, and he's only been here for two episodes, but this is like, rough.
No, this was terrible.
He opens the door. He's not in his suit. He returns it, which you're like, okay, you could have just returned it. But then he is like, we can't be together
because you need someone on your level,
and which is kind of a cop out.
Miranda, you need to be with a guy who's more on your level.
Still.
Being in that store with you made me feel good about myself. Look, I think you're an incredible lady.
You want to break up with me over a suit? Fuck the suit.
It's not just the suit. There's always going to be things out of my reach.
She gets kind of emotional. I mean, of course she does. But she's like, fuck that. Fuck the suit. Fuck you breaking up with me because of this.
And he does it like, what, half an hour before her dinner? That's a dick move. I don't care how nice Steve is and how like self-deprecating he is in the way he delivers his apology. This is a dick move. Yeah. Steve, you're a dick in this moment.
In this moment. Also, you had the suit. You could have fucking gone to dinner and then returned it and been tomorrow. Like, I realized this doesn't work. And
Cynthia Nixon gives a breathtaking performance.
She
and
does.
How did he return the suit if they had it custom tailored is my question,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, me too. I don't think that's possible. Well, she goes to dinner and she's just like clearly out of it. She's like standing there with a cocktail and some lawyers are talking to her and she's like miserable because fucking Steve.
Yeah. And do you think she RSVP'd
for this dinner?
Also, we
can't just let her be happy for the whole episode.
No. Well, she breaks up with him. They break up.
He breaks up with her. That's what I'm saying. Can't we just let them have one whole episode? Because last time was cute, but there was, you know, they had their trials. I just want people to be happy.
I think it'd be.
Well, then it's not good TV.
I know, but I like happy Miranda. Carrie's angsty enough for everyone.
Nope. That's the end of Steve. Bye, Steve.
Shut up.
He had a good 3-episode arc, and
don't
now he's gone.
Don't talk to me.
Bye, Steve.
I'm not a fool.
He flies to Chicago, and then he becomes
he's
a firefighter.
He's in Chicago Fire with your brother.
That's right. He is in that.
Brooks Brothers on that,
does
too.
He
so
still
we actually have,
have
a Steve connection.
Oh, really? Is that New York accent, like, real?
I don't watch.
Does he speak that way on Chicago Fire?
Well, there's your answer.
We don't know. We shall find out, Brooks Brother.
Alex? I literally wrote, oh my God, Steve, don't do that. No, don't do it. And then in all caps, fragile masculinity.
Fragile masculinity. Oh, can
also,
we talk about Jeremiah's yoink, yoink, yoink? I want to fuck him so on
Jeremiah,
the terrace.
Jeremiah?
The tattooed caterer. Who's
oh,
also
he's
a
pretty. He's
artist.
Real cute.
I was like, please be my boyfriend. You're poor and you're in.
What was that tattoo? I didn't even process
oh,
it.
Oh, I didn't.
Something ugly.
He
something
said it was awful. A dragon.
I thought oh, it was a right, dragon right, too. Right, right, right. I was like, does it look like my tattoo? And then I was like, I hope it doesn't look like my tattoo.
Side note, I tweeted this the other day, but I actually am at the point where like not knowing anything about Game of Thrones but trying to absorb as much like information as I can about it is so fun for me because I have the craziest idea of how this all is and I someday I'll watch it and I'll know but I just saw an out of context the only thing I'm sure about is that Arya is my daughter. I don't know anything about the character. I just know she
I
would be like my
now.
Child
I oh wait she you would don't just, mean doppelganger
oh she could literally I think actually be my daughter
now that you
but
mention
I mean,
it I really see
I mean, spiritually I just like from what I've gleaned about the show I'm sure of that but
I think I you, saw, she gives me Catelyn vibes.
I can't wait to know what this means.
I was told that Arya is the character I would be. You I'm also kind of look like Arya.
Well, I got
well
this.
She is my favorite just from
is
her
she?
Personality.
Maisie Williams is a fucking
yeah,
amazing.
She's amazing. That's
friend of the
also
podcast.
She's probably, yeah, the fiercest,
I think
especially
that's
the
why.
First couple of
seasons. I think
I seasons.
Just have gleaned that. But yesterday I saw a tweet that was someone saying, it didn't even mention Game of Thrones, but it just out of context said, are we just not going to talk about the fact that there's a dragon called Drogon? And it made me laugh so much. And so you just brought up the dragon tattoo.
I don't know. And I watch Game of Thrones. and I don't know any of the characters' names.
I know. I've been watching.
So many characters. I'm gonna have to start like a fucking flow chart when I start it.
Uh huh. I've been watching with Johnny, and Johnny will be like, "Oh, Borg, oh, Glogurg, and oh, Gurg,
Glogurg." And I'm like, they're all IKEA furniture names.
And I'm like, I'm like, oh, weird face guy from this place. Yeah. Like, oh, ugly this person.
That's
like,
what I'm most anxious about. The reason, literally, the one reason I haven't started is is because I watch TV so distractedly, and that's why I go back to like my favorites, like 30 Rock and The Office, and Parks and Rec, and Arrested Development.
You'll be fine.
I like to like background noise it, and I'm like, if I don't pay attention to this, I'm gonna have no fucking idea.
My problem
what's going
is
on.
I watched it so fast that I'm like, huh?
Yeah. Like, that's what I'll do too.
Who's this
binge
character?
It
and John will be like, you know, from the second season when this happened, and I'm like, Hodor?
What?
All I know is Hodor.
Yep.
Oh. Okay. Anyway. Back to the
Charlotte's outfit. It's like Claire's accessories.
She feels like she's become their like waitress, like, and she basically has.
I love it.
She climbs back over to her spot next to him, and this is so fucking brazen.
Okay. He's like, Charlene.
I want you to do something for me. I want you to go to the ladies' room, stick your finger in your pussy, come back. Let me smell it.
I just couldn't believe how brazen this was for 20
it's
years ago.
Awful. It's awful. I hated it so much. Well, also, like, ew.
The thing is, like, even if these two people were in a, like, committed relationship and, like, exploring something sexy, it's kind of gross and would be still fucking crazy to say online and on TV.
Charlotte, I like how Charlotte, too, was just kind of like...
Yeah, I know. Her reaction to this is amazing.
She's like, bye.
She literally gets up and she's like, no, I don't think so. Brooklyn and she leaves. And then she looks at all of them and she gives them this, like, are you serious? And Brooklyn she kind of laughs.
Really oh, and he gives her the hand.
I know. He's like, all right, bye. And then a really fucking crazy thing I did not expect to happen happens.
Oh, I called this. I mean, I've seen it.
You've seen this.
But I haven't seen this season in a long time.
Yeah, I know. That's just so funny.
This body language.
Well, so they're walking. Carrie and Caterer Boy. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, is what they're singing going down the street. Yep. Yeah. And they're clearly very, very drunk. And she says something about after you got kicked out of the party.
Fired. He got fired.
Fired.
Well, because Big's like, let's just go. And Carrie's like, I'm having a good time. I'm going to stay. And I'm like, I was like, Carrie, are you having a good time?
No, but I think that's part of the weird class pride thing where she's like, no, I have a point to prove and fuck you, Big. And also I feel uncomfortable and want to prove I can be here.
So many Liz Lemon eye rolls at Carrie in this episode.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
With my whole head.
It's a lot.
Rolling my eyes.
She goes, they're like laughing and like holding hands and giggling with each other. And then she tries to go up the stairs and she's like, oh, I don't live here.
And then
they make out on the street. And then they go up the stairs to her place and she says, and that's the last thing I remember.
Dot, 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 dot.
Exactly. Morse code.
Samantha wakes up. I guess Harvey, whatever his last name is good at sex.
Yeah, I guess he's got
it. Because she's there more than once.
Mm-hmm. Ugly.
So he goes into the shower and some comes in and picks up a condom wrapper and is like, you nasty girl, nasty, nasty, you cocksucking whore.
I thought, what is this audition like for this poor Asian woman to have to go in and like degrade herself in this way?
Yeah, this was unfortunate that her character has to slut shame Samantha.
Yeah.
And that we assume she doesn't know what's happening in the bedroom already.
Right.
She's got to go in and find a condom wrapper.
Oh.
Right. Well, and so they start tugging on the sheets. Samantha's like, what on earth? And some like falls to the ground. And as Harvey opens the door, and some is like, oh, she hit me.
That lady hit me.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you talking like that?
Because oh, and then Harvey's like coddling her like a child.
And she smiles at Samantha.
A weird it's sexual
so weird. That's
slave
the thing.
Child.
You're like, maybe it is both of them, but if so, that is even worse writing than what's happening on the screen. It's so strange. Well, so Carrie wakes up in bed, and first of all, we can't tell if Bullfrog is still in bed with her or not. But the phone rings.
It's Big, and they have this conversation, and he says it.
Listen, I know what you're really pissed off about, but it's just something I've got to do in my own time. Well, I fucking love you, all right? You know I do.
And I honestly,
it's so sweet.
I was really endeared to Big at this moment.
I was too. Because it's so honest. It's real. And you're like, this took a minute, but also Carrie didn't let you take a fucking minute.
I also totally understand like the need to like not look someone in the eye when you're having this conversation with them.
Yeah.
Just to like I remember with my high school boyfriend, who's now engaged to another woman, girl. Mm-hmm. I don't know because he's younger than me, so I feel like saying girl. She's also younger than him even, so girl.
Girl, okay.
I'm doing great. And I had to tell him something, and we were iChat, video chatting, because it was, you know, 2009. And I was like, I need to say this thing, and I can't look at you, and I'm just going to say it. And so, like, I'm definitely, and I remember doing that with my ex-boyfriend, too, just being like,
wow,
I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to close my eyes, I'm going to say the thing I don't want to say, because I can't look at you while I say it. So I, like, totally understand where Big is coming from with, like, making it a phone call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the phone's their thing. They leave voice messages for each other. It's throughout the series. That's their connection.
Yeah.
That's where they can be themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is on the phone.
And he calls her, you know, it's his initiative. He clearly feels bad about the night before. And he's like, are we okay? And also, Jeremiah wakes up and starts speaking, and Carrie, like, slaps a hand over his mouth.
Carrie feels so slimy to me in that moment.
Well, all of it. And of course, she feels so slimy. You know what feels
slimy to me?
The way she ends it.
Everything before I love you doesn't count.
She says, I never told Mr. Big about it because I decided everything before I love you doesn't count, which is asinine.
And also, you already said I love you. So what about the times I've between you saying I love you and him saying I love you?
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah,
it was really rough.
Episode well,
and
like
Jeremiah she hangs up the phone. Also had an Asian tattoo on his shoulder.
Yeah, of course he did. Classic.
Noticed
that. Cue for you.
Yes, but really, really fast. Mm-hmm. Before or after she hangs up the phone, she turns to Jeremiah and she's like, "Did we?" And he's like, "Absolutely not." She's like, "I didn't think so." But you're like, you made out with him on the street. You slept in a bed together, and you just without even she agonizes over everything, and in a span of 30 seconds she's like, I never am gonna tell Big, never did, never will, feel bad about it, but no harm, no foul, bye.
And if you know, if I go to a party and the person that I go with ends up on a terrace with their face in someone else's crotch, I'm also gonna have
feel not questions great about it
like Big. And especially if we go to my friend's party, all Carrie does at that party is belittle and insult.
She did at least know the woman his before, friend, though. But yeah. No,
but Carrie's being a bitch.
She is being a bitch, and he calls her on it, and she's like, I'm not a bitch, it's just my personality.
Yeah, it's just
it's just who I am.
Like, you don't just go insult, even if you know the person, you don't go insulting someone's
bad
friend.
Bad manners, entirely.
Because she doesn't know her well.
No.
So.
What was your cue, Brooke?
I don't remember.
Oh, shit, sorry.
No, it's okay. Who did you resonate with?
Oh, man. Well, as I said a couple of times in this, like, I didn't particularly resonate with her, but I sort of, like, understood the root of Carrie's deal in this in terms of, or the root of the, like, of Carrie and Steve's deal in this, the, like, coming at it from a money standpoint. But more specifically...
just to be fair, you are totally welcome to resonate with someone who isn't the four women. Like, you can resonate with Steve.
We've never done that before.
Yeah.
But I guess I just did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
That's totally kosher.
I feel...
Oh, I remember my cue.
Oh, good. Well done.
Just really quick, on a scale of 1 to 10, how culturally insensitive, like how good is this episode stand in 2017, and I give it a 2.
Yeah. For that plot line?
Just for the literally the sum plot
line. There is not much redeeming about it, honestly.
Yeah.
It just reads like lazy writing.
Okay, sorry. Back to you.
Oh, no.
Steve.
I want
to
hear answers. Do you have a rating? Oh,
rating? I guess.
For 2017.
Are we like the scale, does that compare to current media that exists in 2017?
I think or probably. Like the hard thing for me about this is like, I have a feeling, I know for a fact there are some episodes that are in some ways more intense and bad than this.
I just think as a total episode, the writing is bad, the plot lines are bad.
Yeah.
It's bad too.
But like, were this to be plopped, sometimes we're like, would this be plopped in 2017? And not necessarily would it be bad, but like, would the storyline still make sense? And I think this is one of those where if you plopped it in 2017, people would be like, I'm sorry, who let this be on television? You know?
Ooh, I think if we plopped this in 2017.
A plot rating.
Yep.
I would love to see, you know, when I watched this, I was like, Samantha should have dated an Asian guy in this series. I would have loved to hear her talk about sex with an Asian guy.
Whoa.
And how smooth his chest is and how she loves would've. Slipping and sliding on
oh
his
my
like.
She absolutely would have. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Or if the celebrity could be like a K-pop star for Charlotte.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. Very topical Charlotte for right now.
Charlotte dating a K-pop star. I want to see
Speaking of 2017, I know there's one called 17. That's all I know. BTS? That's one.
Yes. Yes, that's
oh,
one.
Oh, are you in the 1D who went to K-pop?
I am not, but I know people who
yeah,
are.
Yeah, that's the same.
Are you me. Into hockey? Where do you fall?
Not into hockey. Ooh, I went from 1D probably to Hamilton. And then.
I guess I kind of did too. I didn't like obsess, but like I really got deep into Hamilton last year.
Yeah. Anyway.
That makes sense to me.
Who did you resonate with?
Is it too easy to resonate with some?
No, I think you absolutely should own
bring
that.
It. Tell it to us more.
Yeah. Unpack that. Put the clothes back in the dresser.
Okay. Given she is a little bit crazy, like why is she going in the bedroom when she knows they're having sex? Yeah. Why does she pretend to know that they're not having sex and feel the need to slut shame Samantha? That's a weird thing. But
that feels more like the writer's fault than like something they tried to. Anyway, yeah, sorry.
But I love the fact that she needs the sheets clean because I have this compulsive desire to have clean sheets as well. Mm-hmm. Anytime
especially
I have
especially after
someone.
Sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even if you just have someone sleep over?
Yeah. Oh, even if it's like my platonic friend who shares a bed, I'm like, you need to take a shower before you sleep in my bed. I need a clean bed.
Wow. Interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
So you totally get that.
I totally get that. That's and so that funny. Resonates with me. And like, even though Sam's character is like poorly written, has no dimension, we can't really deny the fact that the stories exist.
Totally.
And I think like the best argument for that, I distinctly remember Eva Longoria at the time when she was producing Devious Maids. Mm-hmm. I loved Devious Maids.
I also
I
love
couldn't
Eva Longoria.
Get into it. I couldn't get into Devious
She's such
Maids,
a lovely
but
woman.
I love that you did.
Well, you know, Devious Maids, Eva Longoria as producer, she got a lot of flack from making a show about Latina women being cast as maids and that whole stereotype. But if you watch the show, it is Jane the Virgin before Jane the Virgin in terms of using the telenovela tropes in such
amazing.
Smart
we
ways.
Both really love Jane the Virgin.
Love it.
The fact that I didn't get to see Rogelio as the dad of Mamma Mia is just, I'll never get over it.
And like her argument for it was, these stories exist by telling me that I can't make this show. You tell me that these stories don't matter exist. And they need to be told.
No, she's a cool homie.
So like,
that's a great point. And I think what's maybe so egregious about this is that they tell the story and do it absolutely no service. They don't discuss it in any real way.
They
and they villainize her.
Yeah.
But it's true just to, I mean, the worth of having a story is that you are telling a story.
Yeah. So if this came in pairing in 2017 with like, oh, plot B, sums, you know, and being, you know, kept captive by Harvey Dirkler.
Or some like kind of weird love.
And he bought her on the internet because,
I don't know if you can be in love if someone bought you on the internet.
Well, Stockholm Syndrome.
That's true, which could be very true.
Wow.
Yeah, dark. Well, but
sorry.
But no, it's true though. And maybe that's one of the things too, that I feel like I know it exists still, but I live so far away from the world in which people have like real help in their homes in any kind of like, not even live in, but like long-term way, that I feel like it's less of a thing now, but also I know that it still totally exists in, you know, especially in this city.
And like when Sam says like in her like accent, like you cock sucking, it made me laugh.
Yeah.
It was fucking funny.
It's supposed to make you laugh.
Yeah, it is funny.
Accents can be funny sometimes and people have them.
They do.
You know,
I think maybe the small thing too is that like Eva was telling a story that like she has some personal agency in, you know, this was inevitably some like white people and white men specifically putting this story on on screen.
Yeah. Oh my God. But accents can be really funny sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we just don't know as the audience where this kind of role is coming from for some, whether it's internalized, whether she's putting on a show or whether her boss has told her specifically.
I also would have loved to fucking know that. Like if we'd been given
anything
30 more seconds even just to like know something about her character, because I really want to know
well, funny.
What was the
it.
intention.
And like Yeah, but just the whole ickiness comes from he treats her like kind of his wife, but also his child.
Yes.
That's weird.
Fetishization a little bit. Like, we don't actually see them engage in it, but you can feel it from him.
Yeah. Well, the way he coddles her in his, like, after he's just had sex with Samantha in his, like, towel.
That's so weird.
And like, cradles her head to his chest. Yeah, which is a weird thing you, like, wouldn't really do with someone who works
well,
for
not
you
in the
in
workplace.
Your home.
I don't
no.
like it. Yeah, this no. is a very unhealthy workplace relationship.
Yeah, they need to post the rules in the break room so that everyone knows their rights.
The break room, like his kitchen.
The pantry.
Funny thing about accents too that made me think of. I recently went on a family vacation with my family in China, and we're Chinese American, and it was astounding and amazing. But my cousin's married to a white guy from Westchester.
Wow.
He's with
us. We know
us.
Many of those.
Yeah.
Westchester, came with I think you, right? The funniest thing was when we were eating at this dumpling restaurant. They were describing all the foods that were cooked in the dumplings. And we would ask them what you eat, which one. They're like, you know, in their accent, you know, this is like meat and pork. Shrimp and pork and wet papal, and like she's saying pork and vegetables, but then cousin-in-law, white guy from Westchester, he's like, I can't help but hear that she's saying that they're serving pork and white people. Pork and white people. Like, in the accent. And that's an instance where accents are fucking funny sometimes.
That's an amazing story.
And we told my grandma that on the bus. She thought it was hilarious.
It is amazing.
It was, so and it was.
That's great.
And then from then on, we started calling white people vegetables and vice versa.
I love that. I want to start calling white people vegetables because they're so bland.
My, yeah, honestly, seriously, veggies, unsalted veggies.
Just add that sriracha. You've got sriracha in you.
In the fridge.
Thank
oh, yeah.
you.
Thank you. That's my sparkle, sriracha. Who did you resonate with?
I mean, Carrie.
Yeah.
Like, in a big way, because, like, I have that whole debacle
the
with
I love
the
you
I love
part
you.
Of
the
it.
I love you.
Yeah.
So also, like, the way that she responded to, like, that party, like, that is so me to be like, I'm going to lash out. I'm going to get super drunk. I'm going to go do something stupid. That literally happened to me. I thought we were going to break up one time junior year, and I...
Was this at a WAMU party?
Yes.
Do you remember sitting with me and Brandon Johnston in a room for an hour and a half? At the end of the evening, this was the most time I think I probably ever spent with you in high school. I mean, in college, it was a crazy evening, and I remember it well. And I was there for so much of it.
To the boy who I ended up hooking up with a year later, and said, "Would you hook up with me if I were single?" And of course, he would because he's him. But also, was like, "Yeah." And then I went home and I threw up a lot.
Amazing.
And then my boyfriend did end up coming back to me, and he was like, "Are you okay? Can I take care of you?" Like. Don't be a hero. I don't want you to be a hero. No being a hero. I am a, you know, like it was, I was like, wow. I just like watched Carrie do that. I don't, and I want to talk to you more about
we
that.
We could talk about it.
The,
at some
off
point.
Record.
I forgot about it until just that moment. I thought about it a couple of times and been like, I should talk to Brooke about that. And then you just brought it up and I was like, I literally know what you're talking
about. Yeah, we're going to talk about that right after I ask you this question, Sam. Do you want to be found on social media?
I'm on Twitter publicly.
How do we find you
on social media?
I'm at Swongbird pretty much everywhere but
LinkedIn.
Everywhere but
I
LinkedIn.
Love LinkedIn. Still don't have
one. But my Instagram is private and so is my Facebook.
That's understandable. And we appreciate
I've
it.
Gotten flack about that from
from
my friend
Facebook
Kurt.
Especially is normal.
But
have.
My Instagram, after I recorded our really bad podcast, my friend
Kurt
was like, you need
to
go public. I'm like,
are you public?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I followed you for years. How would I know?
That's true. Yes, I am.
Miss Social Media, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Wait, someone crazy that, did you see that? Wait, someone followed us on Instagram who looked.
Who liked 87 of our photos.
That.
Thank you
also,
for that.
But also, we got another follow.
Small joys.
Social
here.
Media tool started following
oh,
us, and I thought it was like
social media
ma'am.
I can only say it the way that you say it.
Social media ma'am.
I am on Twitter, worrying about the end of the world in 8 different ways. I'm Mrs. Britt Macklin, and Instagram at BridgetM37. Brooke,
you can find me on Twitter, retweeting Bridget.
Doing the tweets.
Tweeting. You can find me tweetily tweeting.
Twitting.
At Brooke_Wiseman, and on Instagram, Brooke Wiseman.
No underscore.
Yeah.
And collectively we are
at Splat Podcast.
Nope. No. Fuck me.
We are at
Splat Podcast. But Brooke made us a Facebook page, which is Splat the Podcast. Splat the Podcast. So if you feel like liking us, just for fun.
You couldn't do exclamation points.
No, no.
So it's just
Splat the Podcast.
Splat the Podcast.
That's kind of a lip
so follow
splat.
Us on Facebook.
If you feel inclined.
Also like rate, review, and subscribe.
Please, please, always. We love it.
We forgot to mention it last week because we were so excited because congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Baby O. Now a sweet week plus old.
So thanks for listening.
Thank you, Sam. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks for having me. This is so great.
Oh, you're the best. This all happened so fast. I know.
What's better than talking shit about these
white women?
Yeah. And drinking rosé.
Sam brought us rosé, so heads up. Anyone who's coming to hang out with us, top that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.